I don't know it too well, but the Hebrew language, you see, when you see only the letters, there are no vowels.
Oh.
And there are little dots there that indicate the vowels, but there are different opinions about them, what kind of vowel, and I think pretty free. I'm not really an expert to explain that too well. But he found that this punctuation was not really vowels, but was a musical.
Uh-huh.
And by writing it down, he was a musician, he found an astounding musical world, so to say, that sounded very, very different from what we are used to hear in the synagogues.
Uh-huh.
It had a much more positive and, I would say, not so moll, not so minor, but major, and a much more, I would say, sunny or positive feeling about it, not this kind of suffering and mourning feeling that you usually associate the synagogue music. And Eric was very intrigued with it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded very beautiful to him. And so he incorporated it in a free manner into this book.
Where did you come in contact with this man? Was
in,
it at Brandeis?
At Brandeis, yeah. He lectured there.
I see.
And, you know, it was very interesting because we heard all these lectures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very stimulating, not only to hear of your own realm, but to be exposed to new things.
Oh,
that
certainly.
That was one of them.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually Rozovsky codified his findings and published them in a book, The Cantillation of the Bible.
Yeah.
Which is a very large and learned work.
Yeah.
And was he aware that Eric had written this movement based on his theories, or?
I forget, because it was written after that.
I see.
I think he returned to Palestine.
Then.
Or maybe to New York. I don't know. He didn't live here.
Mm-hmm. Well, this whole question raises another one, and that is, did Eric himself know Hebrew?
Yes, he did, but not as a language.
Oh, I see.
I mean, he could read it, but he did not understand it.
Oh.
He had never learned it as a language.
I see.
But, you know, in school, the kids, you know, in religion, they learned how to read Hebrew, and they could do that. But he did not know the meaning of the words. And when he had, for instance, composed the 92nd Psalm, the rabbi's underling had written under each word, under the Hebrew words.
Oh,
you know, he had written the English, so he knew what it was all about.
I see. So in the Requiem Hebraico, Eric then actually had set the melodies to English text first, and then
well,
added
the first performance was in Hebrew, but what it meant was there. So composed what it meant, but to the Hebrew-sounding syllables.
I see.
Sometimes there was. It wasn't too difficult to put the English then under it. But sometimes there was a little conflict of syllables.
I see. Then in 1951 and going into 1952, Eric composed a piano concerto. To my knowledge, this is his first major work in the concerto genre. Had he ever thought of doing this before?
Well, it was Ida Schlatter who wanted a vehicle to come before the public, and she offered Eric a commission of $500, which was not very much, but at that time was very welcome. And he was always glad when he had a reason to compose. And so he undertook this and did this concerto in Norman South. It was extremely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard only once, heard it perform on two pianos when Eric and a student that he had at that time performed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard it.
I see. Ida Schlatter herself didn't perform it then? Or?
No, she studied it.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to do it in Vienna. And Eric had written to Kralik, whom he knew from Vienna, and who was at that time director of the radio.
I see.
And tried to arrange a concert for her. And but before anything evolved, he died.
Oh. So it never was performed, then, to your knowledge?
No. And at the memorial.